being here. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. And the next person, I welcome you as well. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Please say your name and location.
Aloha, hi. This is Gina from Oahu, Hawaii.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you for waking up.
Hi, Gina.
Hi. Thank you. Yes, it is quite early for me.
If we had more people join in, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don from Brecksville. Hi, hi.
Good morning.
Did you happen to hear Coast last night?
Hear what, sorry?
Coast to Coast AM.
No, I have not heard what it was on, no.
The guy's talking about biogeometry. It's interesting.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I listened to part of that too, but I fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
it was definitely one of the best Coast shows in the last 5 years.
All right.
Oh, absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Well, biogeometry is sacred geometry.
Pardon me?
The same thing.
What is that again?
Biogeometry is sacred geometry.
Oh, okay,
same thing.
That's a good point.
We had another caller come in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yes, this is Paul in Los Angeles.
Hi, Paul. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Joel, did I hear you?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, Joel?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. Thank you for being here.
I'm being the bug on the wall with me.
All right. I think we're live on BBS right now, and I welcome those who joined in over the internet. Thank you, BBS, for having us worldwide live. We're still waiting for our dear friends Wynn and Terry to show up. Maybe they had a late party last night.
You know how Wynn likes to drink? He doesn't drink.
Dave.
You.
Will you please take the mic, and I'm going to give Vin a call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Something tells me Wynn was out late celebrating his birthday.
Oh, good.
Were any of you out there in the party?
Mine's this week, too.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, they had a birthday. Oh.
Yep. Someone else has joined us. Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday call. Would you like to give your name and locations, please? Welcome to the Sunday call. If you like it, would you like to give your name and locations, please?
Good morning. It's Jim from Sedona. I hope everybody's well. Hello, Heiss.
Good morning, Jim. This is Heiss's evil twin brother taking over.
Well, welcome, man. Have a happy day, and nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. And we've had others join us. If you have an opportunity, please feel free to give your names and locations.
Good morning, Dave. This is Donna from Kingman.
Donna, I've been waiting for you. Thank you for not standing me up.
Wouldn't want to do that.
I hear. And how is everything in Arizona? Great weather again today?
Yeah. We got smoke from the fires in California yesterday.
Oh, wow.
That's Donna?
Yes.
Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. How are you, Heiss?
Doing well, thank you.
Lucy, would you please come back at 5:30?
Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Mac from Utah.
Good morning, welcome to the call.
Morning.
All right.
I'll admit, I'm missing.
I think the gang is here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Stop yelling.
Are you there?
Is Terry there?
I'm here.
Good morning, Terry.
Morning, Terry.
Morning.
Morning, Terry.
Good morning. Hi.
Happy birthday, Wynn.
Oh, yes, happy birthday, Wynn.
Happy birthday, Wynn. See that?
Happy birthday to you.
Wait a second. Where's the... There we go. I star 60.
Happy birthday.
So how many was it?
Uh-huh.
How many scratches on the wall? How many candles were there?
Let's see. It's 10:05, and I think we're ready to start. I don't think we're ready to start, but we'll do it anyway.
Right.
Hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is Sunday, May 5th. Why don't we have all those noises in the background? Let me see here. Terry? They seem to be coming from you, Terry. Are you there, Terry?
I just muted myself, but I'm unmuted now.
Are you fidgety this morning?
Yeah.
You but, are?
I'll mute myself right now.
Okay. So, this is May 5th, our Sunday grid healing, and Wynn and Terry in Stona. Daphne, you're not on the line, are you?
Has not checked in, no.
She told me yesterday she was going to come in, but we'll see. Well, you know, we are right now in the thick of all the things that we have been talking about for years. Now, some of you that are listening are coming into our conference calls, are coming into our Sunday call, and, you know, as you know, that we usually develop a really good energy on this call. There are magical things that happen that even I don't understand. I don't know if anyone can understand how it works, but there are these energies that flow down from somewhere, from the universe, from the cosmos. And they don't flow through the telephone line. They flow through your body, and for many people, in the top of their head. And there's this feeling where your energies get cleansed, that things lift. You come onto the call depressed, and your depression leaves. And it's kind of an awesome experience, and we just couldn't be making it up. Too many people feel it, and it even works for me. It even works for Terry. You know, when we come onto the call, we have our own way that we, you know, have been at the beginning of the call, and then something shifts during the call. Now, I don't believe this is the first time in history that anyone has been able to have this kind of experience. In fact, I think it's happened many, many times. And yet, most people on our planet have never had this experience. And if you tried to tell it to them or explain it to them, they wouldn't believe you. They wouldn't believe it's possible. And so a question is, why is it that an experience that can be so profound? Now, if you're one of those on the call that hasn't had that experience, hang in there and be patient, because most people that reach for it get it. This is not the power of suggestion. This is not hypnosis. This is something else. And if you know, we're having communications with intelligences in other dimensions. And one of those intelligences explains that it's the Council of Elohim, and they take credit for the creation of the universe, except they're not God in the way we would normally think of God. They exist, they're real, seems like they're real, and because they created the universe, it doesn't mean they're sitting there being God, because as they have explained to us, when they created the universe, it was bit by bit, and then they gave each part of the universe free will to develop itself as it would choose. And so everything in the universe is alive, and every little subsection has free will, apparently. This is what we understand, so that it develops the laws, the rules, the way things function underneath that subset. So, for example, if we just look at our solar system, apparently the sun is the major rule maker for the solar system. And then there is a council, which is a subset rule maker for the solar system. And then there's each individual planet, which is a sub-subset, or in the raw material, a sub-logi. And, of course, the Earth would be a sub-logi, and the Earth is determining certain rules for itself and all of us who are living on Earth. And then we are the sub-sub-logi, or sub-sub-sub-logi. I don't know how many subs we need to put in there. And we're determining the rules for our own life. And if we have children, as we know, for a period of time, you as a parent will determine the rules that your children grow up in. But at a certain point, they are adults, and they may choose to either continue some of the rules that you embedded in them as they were growing up, or they may have a total change of heart. And you may say, what are they doing that for? Why are they? I didn't bring them up that way. But nonetheless, that's what free will is. They need to exercise their free will. So what we have here is the Elohim, which could be looked at as a parent, and the entire universe as the children. But the children were all growing up, and they all made their own rules, and the Elohim didn't interfere, except that some of the rules that were made up were, how shall we say it, oppressive. We could call it service to self. There were beings in this realm that wanted to be in charge of it, that wanted to run it, and that what we would find is that there's a hierarchy of those beings that goes up quite high. And most of us, or many of us, are totally unaware that that exists, in spite of the fact that many of us have been under the control patterns of these beings. You know, when I first started writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there's a chapter in the book on television and the media. And the Ra group was saying, don't watch television. Don't watch television. Be careful. A great chapter. And I didn't quite understand it at the time, because at that time when I was first studying all this, I was not aware of most of the things I'm aware of now. This has been a number of years that I have been studying this and trying to validate it. As you know, I'm not an easy believer. Just because a voice says something through Terry or Daphne, I have to integrate it. I usually will do a lot of internet searches, because when something is new to me, I can't quite believe that I'm the only guy that's getting it. So I want to find correlative things that back this up. And I remember early on, there was an amazing correlative thing I found connecting the Carla Ruckert Ra material to the Edgar Cayce material, where I had studied the Edgar Cayce material pretty comprehensively when, you know, perhaps 30 years ago. And I found myself having a lot of questions. I appreciated the wisdom in it. I appreciated many of the things in it. But there were some huge holes in my comprehension. For example, they would talk about a solar cycle. And this was in the Edgar Cayce readings. And that was not a big thing, but it was there somewhere. And I said, okay, this guy is credible. His readings are credible. He's done all the stuff that you can validate. What is a solar cycle? And I remember looking up solar cycle. There wasn't the internet then, but I couldn't find anything that related to a solar cycle. And it wasn't until I uncovered David Wilcock and started reading about the shift the planet was in, and that there were these 25,000-year cycles, and there were 75,000-year cycles, and that we were in the midst of a 75,000-year cycle right now, that I suddenly said, that's what a solar cycle is. And it started to make sense. And then another thing that came up in that original studying of myself had to do with this correlation between the Edgar Cayce readings and the Carla Ruckert readings. And when I discovered this, I kind of fell off my chair, because what I was realizing, you know, the first time I heard about the Ra group, I said, can this be real? Can there really be a group of souls that is made up of individual souls that graduated this realm? Could that be true? And they're wise. I was reading them. I was studying them. But then in terms of the Carla Ruckert material, there was this huge correlation to the Edgar Cayce material. And, you know, I was being kind of like a sleuth, a cosmic sleuth, trying to look for things to tie it all together. And in the Edgar Cayce materials, Edgar Cayce talked about Ra-Ta, who was an Egyptian priest in 10,000 BC, who was there at the time Atlantis was falling, and he was welcoming many of the Atlanteans into Egypt. And according to the Edgar Cayce readings, he did many healings, and he built the pyramids by levitation. And I thought that was really far out. Of course, I didn't know how I could validate all of Edgar Cayce's health readings. But building the pyramids by levitation? Well, now I'm studying the Carlo Ruckert readings. And anyone can back me and walk in my footsteps here and find this. In her raw material, in book one of her raw material, and I believe we've already covered this on our The Law of One Made Simple series. But in the raw material, Ra had said, we found a Egyptian high priest, 10,000 B.C., and we built the pyramids by levitation. And then they added that the priests of the time, the priesthood, took their material, which was meant to lift the template of humanity, the energy of it, they took it and distorted it and used it to control people instead of their intent. So they played a part in bringing the negative into this realm through that work. Well, obviously, the Carlo Ruckert material had to be talking about Edgar Cayce, although they never mentioned Edgar Cayce. And the Edgar Cayce material had to be talking about a group soul, although the Cayce material never talked about a group soul. Now, I came to the conclusion that the Cayce material couldn't talk about a group soul because of Cayce's fundamental Christianity, that he would have perhaps discarded his whole project if he had to think of God in the concept of being a group soul. So they never broached that subject. But they did talk about many, many things about the cosmos. So this was my first huge discovery. This was before I met Daphne, before any of the many other things that were to happen. But the fact that it seemed like the Ra group had left this footprint, a huge footprint, in the fact that the Ruckert material and the Cayce material talked about the same Egyptian high priest, the same period of time, and building the pyramids by levitation. And I actually, it's what made me meet Carlo Ruckert. She was giving a talk, I think, in 2002, in Laughlin, Nevada. And I drove there because I felt this was such a big thing that I had discovered. And I wanted to see if she happened to have, in her conscious mind, knew that Edgar Cayce talked about his past life where he built the pyramids. And she didn't. And of course, I believed her. She had read Edgar Cayce. She read about his health cures, but never read about his past life in Egypt. So I think it was that one thing, that one incident, that made me write the book. And, you know, I'm always scanning the internet, looking for correlations, looking for things to put together, because if there's a Ra group, and if they are working to lift the vibration of this planet, then I would think that they would be showing up in other places, as does the Elohim group show up in other places. But of course, as I've learned, you can't just look for the word Elohim and assume because something comes up on Google that what you're reading is actually the Elohim. You have to look at it and see if it has the resonant frequency. The other thing is, and I'm just cautioning people, as you do your own research, to realize that because you find the word Elohim, and because somebody is channeling, and it perhaps sounds like our Elohim, doesn't mean that 2 months from now that that channeling might not get distorted. And suddenly, it is not the Elohim, but it's some voice saying it's the Elohim, and it's from the negative. That is very common, and the Ruckert material even talks about that. They say the negative will come in on positively disposed channelings. So how do you figure it all out? The bottom line is you're not supposed to be a follower. You're supposed to be taking this stuff and integrating it into your life and testing it all the time, because it's not the information helps to trigger a lot of stuff, but the frequencies that are on these calls are more important than the information, in my opinion. But without the information, without the understanding, your discernment is going to be weak. And that means you could be going along and suddenly giving up your power to a negative source and not realize you're doing it because you think it's the Elohim or Ra or Jesus. So I'm talking about all this because in the past week, in one of my internet searches, I found, and I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow night, I found a whole series of things on a website that I started to think this sounds like the Ra Group. They didn't call themselves the Ra Group, but I said it sounded like the Ra Group. And then I found a couple of areas where it was so precisely connected, identified with not only my work, but Carla Ruckert's work as well, different things that normally don't show up in New Age channelings, okay? Normally they don't, but they were showing up in the source. And then I found out that they were talking about Ra-Ta, which was that lifetime of Edgar Casey's in Egypt. And they were explaining it almost exactly as I had come to understand it. And of course, even Edgar Casey people don't know about Ra-Ta. That's one of those obscure things that's in the readings. And then they were talking about the separation of souls, and how there was going to be a lower vibration earth and a higher vibration earth. And some people were going to go to the lower and some were going to go to the higher. And they went into great detail about that. And that very much matched a lot of the information that was coming through Terry at the beginning of this work when I was asking all those questions about ascension, et cetera, et cetera. So This is one of the most correlative sources I have ever run into. And it didn't feel like there was much negative to it. Another thing that came up with is they started talking about the Book of Revelations. Now, independently, on one of our Monday calls, I did a whole talk on the Book of Revelations, and it was not from anything I read, nothing that was channeled. It was my own take on it, that the Book of Revelations came from a negative source. It was not connected to the high work of Jesus. And if you're familiar with the beginning of Christianity, you'll know that I believe Jesus was dead. And somebody had revelations, they had a voice talking to them, and the voice identified itself as the same voice that talked to Jesus, or the person assumed that. And suddenly, there was the Book of Revelations, which was filled with things that create fear, okay? And, well, in looking at the book of Revelations and how it's used, it creates fear. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to this, you're not going to ascend, da-da-da-da-da. You know, there's seven, you can go look at it. And I said, that does not sound like our sources. I have never heard them say anything that creates fear. So, for example, I printed a couple of those. Let me see if I see a good quote here on Revelations. Now, there are aspects of Revelations that were true. There were. The fact that there is a division of souls taking place. And, you know, when we look at that, we can think of that as being scary, that you want to graduate. But understand that essentially, for most of us, we have been on the low side of evolution in this on this planet for thousands of years. And so your life now is representative of what it's like to go through a series of lifetimes with no memory from one lifetime to the other, and each lifetime being its own painting. And there's a reason for that. You know, there was, in the stuff I was reading in this, and I'm the source, you're going to have to come tomorrow to hear who the source is, because I'm going to talk more about it in detail. They were saying that, I've heard this before many times, one of the reasons beings come and take bodies on Earth is because when you're in a body on this planet, you have the opportunity for the fastest evolution possible of your soul. And when you're in between realms, now, this is what I've heard this, I can't remember, I think our sources have validated this as well. When you're in between realms, even if you're in a blissful, good state, you're kind of stuck there, and it's hard to move. And so, if you want to evolve, you take a body, because this is the fastest place to evolve. But oftentimes, you don't really realize how hard it is down here when you're on the other side. And when you get here, oftentimes you had the intent to evolve in this realm, but unless you do certain things, you're stuck. And of course, because of the way that this realm is so programmed by the negative, once you're here, even though you came to evolve, you get trapped in all the stuff, the newspapers, the thought forms, and you're spinning around, and it gets worse instead of better, because you get caught up in karma in this realm. And you could have been graduated from this realm when you came back, and you came back to be of service, and you end up getting caught in karma. In fact, according to the Ra Group, through Carla Ruckert, 90% of the Ra Group, 90% who chooses to come back into this realm as wanderers, gets caught up in the realm again. And in a series of reincarnational traps. So I would say that those of you that have discovered us, discovered our material, and are studying it, have a huge, huge advantage, if you take it, in learning how to accelerate your growth in this realm. And, you know, I know when I say that, I know you're listening and saying, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I want to accelerate my growth, but what should I do? Should I quit my job? Should I leave my husband? Well, we constantly give little tips on what to do. And oftentimes, it seems stupid, mundane, like how could that make a difference? Like, how could smiling at the lady at the gas station make a difference to your evolution? How could going to an old age home make a difference? How could volunteering to do transcripts make a difference? But the thing is, it's the choices you make every day, the opportunities you take every day that start this process of evolution. It's how do you weave your energies into a loving space with the people around you, because that's what it's about. Particularly when you wake up and you don't feel loving, you don't feel connected, you feel disassociated, alienated. Where do you start? Well, every time you have to start where you are, just as I have to start these calls where we all are. And as you notice, when we're on this call, the call has a flow to it. And bit by bit by bit, the energies start to change. And we start noticing the subtle energies around us. And it's always a surprise to me when it starts to come in. And part of the talking is not only to bring good information, things to think about, wisdom you can apply to your life, but it moves through the energies so that you'll let go of your mind and I'll let go of my mind, and these subtle energies start to flow. Because what I've learned, and of course I say I've learned this, I think it's true because it's just as invisible to me as it is to you, that we have these group souls that are waiting in the wings. And they're waiting to flow into this realm so that you can feel their love. And that it's the law of one. They are you. They are a higher aspect of you. And you are a lower aspect of them. And they don't come in out of being a stranger. They come in as being part of you. And if you try to think of how this works, then you would look at the Elohim and think that they created this realm, and they understand all of the energies, all of the energetic constructions in the realm, and that they could move from where they are through all these constructions to where we are. Now, do you think I understand that? No. It just keeps happening, and I say, I feel it. Now, are they moving through the universe? Are they moving from inside you? And maybe they'll address that. I'm not sure. It's like, I don't know if there is any inside or universe, because maybe they're all the same place, and everything is an illusion. And once you're out of the space of believing the illusion, then you can be anywhere in the illusion just by thinking about it. In fact, that's the way this 4D reality is described by David Wilcock and Carla Rucker, and I believe our materials, where you can think of something and boom, you're there. How can that be? How did you get there? How do they feel you? I know I can think of somebody and I can kind of do a prayer or hold them in my space, and they call me occasionally and they said, I could feel you. And this only works with free will, never an intrusion. You know, I don't spy on people. I don't think of what everyone's doing. It doesn't matter. It's just that when there's a person that's open to feeling loving energy, then I move into that quiet space, even doing this for an entire group, holding the space, I can feel the energy of the group, and I send it love. How much time do you spend every day doing that? I would suggest, if you are one of those people that is reaching for evolution in this realm, try doing that every single day. Get into a quiet place and think of the people you care about and send them loving energy. And think of our planet and send it loving energy, because you are a child of all that is. You have the same power I have, that Jesus had, that, I mean, Jesus said it, these things I do, you can do, and much more. And I'm not saying that from a religious standpoint. I'm saying that everyone in a human body has put the same potential. But so many of us never reach our potentials. Why is that? Because this realm is designed to be an obstacle course. It's designed by the negative. It's designed by the negative to be that way. And why does the negative want it that way? You know, when I say the negative, let me just say, I'm going to tomorrow give the links to this channeling, because there's a lot of stuff that I don't really like to focus on these calls, but I think it's very important for you to know about it. And I'm going to put the link out tomorrow, or I'm going to announce it on tomorrow's call, because they go into it fairly deeply, and I think in general it feels very correlative to all the things I've learned, and it's an area that could be very, very important for all of you in the future. So there's layers of negative, and you know, the first layer might be those people that are in bodies that are controlling this realm. And some people call them the Illuminati, the bankers. But behind it all, there is a cult phenomena being used to control everything. Symbols, black magic, blah, 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 blah. And it's very real. And then you go above that, and then you start getting ETs that are negative. And ETs that have various agendas concerning our planet. And then you go above that, and you get very high holographic energies, not as high as the Elohim, but high. High enough to manipulate things below it. and that these high entities make long-range plans in controlling this realm. Long-range plans over hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. And we don't see those plans because we're only caught in our little segment of time. And yet they're very real. And for some of you, it would absolutely blow your mind to realize the extent of those plans and how they are manipulated not manipulated, how they are brought to bear in our world, and that we are living at the impact, effect of all those plans. And the media and the newspapers are part of those plans, that they are under. Now, this may not have been true 30 years ago, 40 years ago, but in general today, the media is under the auspices of the negative, and that things you see on the news are probably across the board not as they're being presented. And there's a huge amount of distortion on it. And yet millions of people are watching that news and forming their decisions, deciding who to hate, who the enemy is, and it's not the way it's being presented. So how are you going to figure this out? Who are you going to trust? You know, occasionally I make a comment on these calls about something that somebody interprets as not patriotic, and then I get a bunch of emails about it. Well, I happen to be very patriotic, but that does not mean that our rulers, our government, is positive. In fact, they're not. There are so many agendas behind the scenes going on, and you need an open mind. You don't have to believe it. You shouldn't believe it, but don't immediately disbelieve it, okay? Because you're probably operating on a programmed thing in your mind rather than finding the truth of the situation. This is an interesting thing in this source that I've discovered, which the awareness indicates that if it were possible for this awareness to encourage entities to think for themselves without telling them or suggesting to them a line of thought, it would surely do so. But it appears that most entities want someone or something to direct their thinking, and thus the awareness must make a suggestion from time to time regarding certain ideas and concepts so that entities are not afraid to turn their eyes in a different direction, to question something from a different view. The awareness indicates it would be much easier for entities to go along with the authorities on everything that is promoted. For then there is threat of resistance or counteraction. The awareness indicates, however, entities who go along to get along too often find themselves ensnared in the slaughterhouse, in the dark room of enslavement, imprisonment, entrapment, and thus has been so throughout the history of humanity. This awareness warns entities not to go along just to get along without being aware of the potential dangers involved in your action. For sometimes, a stick in time can alter the outcome. And if you are bent on going along to get along, you may miss an opportunity to take that stick, to take that move, to give that action, that effort, to alter the course of history. For there are moments when a little leverage here and a little leverage there can change the course of future history. The awareness indicates that if the energy isn't given, if the leverage isn't used, the movement is not altered. And those making the plans to enslave you and your family and your children's children may have missed their opportunity because you missed yours. The awareness indicates that it only asks entities to become more aware of what is happening in their world. For in that awareness, they will take right actions in accordance with their level of comprehension and awareness. As you become aware, you act in accordance with your level of awareness. And in making others aware, they too act in accordance with their levels of awareness. And the spreading of information at the right time can alter the entire direction of a movement, of an effort that may be for no good. And the awareness suggests that, as previously indicated, this is a time wherein a war is occurring over the capture and the containment of the souls of humanity. And the war is being fought with ideas and concepts and information. It could be at a future time, including weapons. And the weapons may be used in the future to wipe out segments of society. If the ideas of today are not properly used in this battle for control of the minds of entities, for as entities seek to understand, they may turn to the wrong sources. If your voice isn't present, if your information isn't available, do you hear that? Let me say that again. It's like, if the ideas of today are not used properly in this battle for control of the minds of entities, there's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your soul. For as entities seek to understand, they may turn to the wrong sources. Entities seek, we're talking about the, not you. Hopefully, we're the right source, hopefully. But you have to decide that. But there's going to be a lot of people trying to understand things. And there's going to be a lot of things vying for their attention. And it's like you're building your own credibility means your little bit of counsel can change someone else's direction. The awareness suggests that as you spread the information, you spread opportunities for others to see a different side of the picture. For your information may be just what they need to understand the full scope of something they only suspected or wondered, and at which they would otherwise ignored had it not been for the information you provide. Think not that you have nothing to say. We suggest that all ideas are part of the collective consciousness of humanity. And if your idea is not spread, then there's a gap in collective consciousness, resulting in a degree of ignorance. So each of you is caught in how to work this, how to contribute to other people. And I'm caught in thinking, oh, how do we work as a team? Many of us, we have come to a really amazing place. And it's kind of like we're in a circle and we've learned to experience love on these calls. Many of you have found friends in this work and connections in this work. Some of you have found husbands and wives, and some of you have found jobs or synchronicities that brought you more abundance. And some of you are thinking, when do I get mine? And so, and I don't know the answer to that. I just say, hang in, and my job is to keep finding the opportunities, the ways to make this all stronger and give you more tools to work with. I know one of the things, right now is that for many of us, we don't have local communities that are strong. And we meet on the calls and we develop a strong energy, but we don't have a local group of people to share that with. And that's missing. That's important because if things break down, it's important to have a support system. So I am working on that, actually, how to develop local communities and keep your eyes open and pay attention because we'll be sending something out fairly soon that is a way to execute that idea. And it's a way that every one of you can be of service without having to put your foot in your mouth or risk being excommunicated by your community, which is one of the problems. You talk about this to somebody and you try to explain it in so many words and people think you're nuts or they think you're gone off the deep end. So in any case, that's part of my job, to think of all those things. Part of your job is, if you think of something, to let me know. And also, there's always volunteer opportunities. And it's, the reason to volunteer is, the main reason to volunteer is because you have tapped into the awareness of what we're doing and how it's helping people and how it's helped you. And that through the efforts of volunteers, you are going to cause more people to connect with us, more people to have the experience that you had. So if you value your experience, then you know that having more people have that experience is really positive. And then you are actually creating that. And you're actually the cause of having that experience or other people having that experience. And that when you change something in this realm, when you intrinsically change something, you can't help but change yourself. So, for example, in all the ways that we have contributed to you, we have also intrinsically changed ourselves. And I can feel that change. And I can feel that connection. And I think differently. I talk differently. I wake up every day feeling differently. And it's like figuring out how to make little changes lead to big shifts. Not big changes, but little changes. But little changes lead to big changes. And it's like I said earlier, we were like huddled around in a protected space in a circle. And we're coming to the place where we have to stay in the circle, but turn around 180 degrees so that we're facing into the world to do our own service. However we do it, in bringing these energies of love light into this realm. And it's a big challenge and a big puzzle because there's no one size fits all. There's nothing I can say, let's do this and it works. Each of us is in our own experiment to how to increase the level of interface. Some of us aren't ready for that yet. Some of us are still working out too much of our stuff, and that's okay. And what I'm going to do, it's 10:58.
Vin.
Yeah.
I would like to welcome Daphne to the call. And good morning, Daphne. Let me unmute her line.
Oh, thank you, hi. And thank you, Wynn. And thank you, Terry.
Well, good morning, Daphne. Nice to have you. And thank you for throwing the first pitch that allowed all this to happen in spite of not even knowing what you were doing, right?
Well, I wouldn't quite put it like that, but as you wish.
Well, I don't think any of us knew what was going to happen or where it was going to lead when it all started, but thank you for checking in, and I'm going to do our little, what's all that background noise? Let me see. Hello. Testing, 1, 2. Okay, we're here. So, let's do our little visualization, which connects us to the universe and the earth and each other. And the universe is one being. That's our recurring theme. Everything in the universe is part of the same energy, the one infinite creator. All that is all that is. And we are little micro specks in this greater expansion of all that is. And the unique aspect of a human is that although their body and their normal consciousness is a microscopic part of all that is, the energy that occupies a human, that you could say is your soul, is not limited to the body. And that probably one of the reasons that being in a body is such an extraordinarily, potentially expansive experience is that you have the opportunity through your choices to interface with this energy that we call soul. And to develop a working relationship with it and learn how it can expand to be more than it is normally. It can expand beyond the contraction of this realm. And in fact, when we do this visualization, I believe that's exactly what happens. We get a chance to experience that expansion. So put your feet flat on the ground, and we see the energy of the earth, which is alive, moving through from the center of the earth, traveling from the center of the earth, coming up through the floor of your home. No matter where you are on the planet. So if we were looking at this energetically, we would see these beams of energy coming from the center of the earth through the floor, and that we're all connecting at the center of the earth and through the floor, through our feet. And some of you can feel a little buzzing in your feet. So we can conjecture that buzzing is the earth, and we can tell the earth that we love her. And we keep moving through our feet, through our legs, through our calves. We have this finger of energy from the earth moving up through our bodies, through our solar plexus, through our chest, through our neck, and through our head. We are connected to the earth. And we're connected to each other through the earth. You feel the connection? It's kind of a lower chakra connection through the earth to each other. Now we're going to move through the top of our head. We're going to go 1 foot above our head. We're not leaving our body. We're in our body, and we're projecting through our body, both down to the earth, and now we're going to go up through the top of our head and into our room, projecting. If we were going to visualize it, see this energy coming up through the top of your head, hitting the ceiling, and like a fountain of water that struck something, it kind of spreads out into your entire room. It's just, the room is surrounded with this energy. Now you can move through your ceiling and then through the roof and into the sky. And up through the sky, through the clouds, through this veil that surrounds our earth. And we're moving through time as well as through space. And boom, we hit this place where, I shouldn't say boom, but we hit this place where we are connected. In truth, we're always connected. But in reality, we feel separated. Right at this moment, we're moving into the truth of the connection. We are all part of each other. We are all extensions of all that is. And we can just imagine all of our energies way up there playing with each other, having fun, interfacing. And we can silently say, I love you. For all of you who are present, all of you who are listening to the replays, all of you on the internet. So we're building a place in another dimension, in another realm, we can't see, but we can feel. We can feel the connection, and we can invite our sources to come in and share energy with us in this place we've built. So let's do that. Some of you noticed the electricity went up as soon as I said that. You know, many people have different reactions when we're doing this visualization. Sometimes people get very tired, and it's a very good tiredness because if you fall asleep, you start to clear things in your dreams. Some people get very vibrant, and they feel
a lot of radiance. And some people, it actually surfaces pain, painful feelings, because this energy is attempting on some level to move through you and have you let go of certain things. And if you're resisting, if it's things that you don't know how to let go of, it can cause pain. Well, let's bring the energy back down from the center of this place of oneness. And we're going through all the levels, through the sky, through the roof, through the top of our head. And now we're going to make an attempt at moving this through our body and releasing all those things in your body that are holding, that are stiff, that are in pain, that are blocked. So move it from the top of your head, slowly down through your head, through your neck, through your chest, through your solar plexus, and through your genitals, through your legs, and back into the center of the earth. Take a moment and feel what we've created. This huge energy going from the top of your head up into the celestial realms, from the bottom of your feet down to the center of the earth. And we've all connected with each other in our sources. Take a moment of silence and feel that. Right now, I would like you who have requests to the universe for shifts and change to hold them in your thoughts, in your thinking. While we have this expanded energy present, and our sources say they're telepathic and that they won't violate your free will, but if you're opening up to let them hear you, they can. So hold the space for this interaction. Let's go through our healing list. birthday. First off, I would like to send the light to Conrad Kosserer, who was the Unity minister in Flagstaff, who actually gave a testimonial on the back of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And Conrad had a heart attack a day or two ago, and he is in intensive care. And thank you, Steve Bullard, for letting me know. We have Pat in Alabama putting her daughter in the light and finances in the light. And then we have Dean in Monroe, New York, healing love and light to her two girls, our brothers and sisters in the sea, and all beings on the planet. And then we have Barbara in Twin Falls, Idaho, puts all her loved ones and herself in the light. Regarding issues with her brother and sister, energies to cope easily, nursing home challenges, and our friend Kevin. Then we have Michelle in Canada. Please send my mother healing energy to her shoulder and her worried mind. She has helped so many of her children and deserves a financial miracle. With all my love, Mom, this is what I wish for you. I hope you find a man who loves you and you he. Thank you for caring for your mother, Michelle. Lise in Arizona. She puts her car, or finding a car, or fixing a car. And then we have Sandra in Houston. Put her headaches in the light, and any out of balance situations with regards to her head. And then we have Anna in Fremont. That's what I just did, didn't I? Excruciating headaches, Anna. We put your headaches in the light. I think I was reading Sandra, and Sandra was not having headaches. Don't get any headaches, Sandra. Healing and balance in her body. And then we have here Colleen in Sedona, who I've never met. Hi, Colleen. Physical, emotional, spiritual healing for Billy, who has recently undergone hip replacement surgery. And we have Michael in San Diego. Sends a light to his nephew, Shane, for psoriatic arthritis. Another one for Michael in San Diego. Heal the body, please. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and sadness. And another one. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and freedom of the internet. And then we have Michelle in Canada. to continue living here, at least until I can find right employment to support a more conscious move if necessary. Please send me a partner. Cheryl in Huntington Beach. She sends a light to her relationship with her husband. And she wishes for all couples who are having difficulties to be put in the light as we continue to change and evolve. Thank you, my dear heavenly friends. And then we have Joe in Redondo Beach, sending the light to his relationship with Cindy, financial abundance and emotional healing, and power to his clients, Flo in Canada, sends healing to her son, Mark. Carola in Canada, healing in her hip and shoulder, healing energy for Terry to have full recovery from spinal injury. I wonder if she means Carla there. Health and help to all who are struggling with being here, including the animals and the earth. Paramajyoti in Washington. Jermaine in Texas needs calming, soothing of her heart, mind, and soul, and healing for bone affection. And spiritual protection and intervention for spiritual harassment and torture. And Carolyn in Uganda. Physical healing for Carolyn, Robert, and friend from cold and virus attacks, and safe trip for Carolyn returning to the States on Wednesday. And let's take a moment of silence and just hold that space for all those people, if they're on this list or not on this list, if you're wherever you are right now, whenever you listen to this, put yourself into the light and the things that are important for you. Let's check Terry's microphone. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, every one of you on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves as a flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we await a message for this Sunday through Terry. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is May 5th, 2013, planet Earth. And as we look over planet Earth, we bring love light, and we see that the love light then resonates with each and every person who is service to others and brings them nurturing and a sense of care, although they may not connect it with the source. This is Ra'an, and we come to be of assistance in your realm. We see that many of your attentions are taken up with the stress of daily living and the stress the media is placing and has placed upon each and everyone who takes a notice of the things that are going on, the control, the bringing of people's attention to the stressors in society, wraps up their attention and keeps it from more positive flow, as the stressors tend to stop one in one's tracks as one figures out how to deal with the situation. It is a matter partly of living in the third density and how to bring one's level of survival above the minimum. And it then also is a means that is used for controlling the society. It has been brought in as a means of control focus upon bad news, to focus upon instilling worry. It is a means of control that has been brought in the 90s and the 2000s. We bring love light and relief and relaxation from our realm in to each and every one of you who is open to receive it. And we extend over the whole planet a relaxation and a relief. We see in China, they are adding to the joy in their celebrations of the holiday over the next few days. This has an overall uplifting of the planet. Each and every one of you, as you bring in joy, the energy of love, the energy of caring, ran the max of kindness. You uplift to some degree the whole level of the planet, and particularly those within your own sphere of influence. We are honored to be with you this 5th day of May, and we are mindful of the things that you have put into the light for yourself, and those of you who are service to others have put other people also
in the light and yourself in the light. As you put yourself into the light, you raise the level of your own consciousness in your own awareness and your own ability to receive. For if you have learned in your upbringing patterns that are non-optimal that indicate to you that you are not worthwhile or that you are not deserving, then these will be your fate that you bring in to yourself. For when you believe in yourself and when you know that you are worthwhile and you are a treasure within yourself, then you can believe that you are worth the acceptance and the love of others, and it opens the gate for this to flow into you. It brings tears of joy to our energy eyes to be able to share with you today. We love you more than you can possibly imagine, and we send the idea that you may also love yourself to that degree. We leave, but we do not leave out of North. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, sometimes, you know, in the earlier part of the talk, I was talking about all the agendas of the negative, et cetera, et cetera. And occasionally I get into a conversation with somebody where they say, you shouldn't be talking about that. You shouldn't be paying attention to that. That you give energy to what you focus on. And to a certain extent, that is true. But I have asked questions about this to our sources, and they say the answer is, without you having some awareness of how the negative operates and influences this realm, without that, you are much more vulnerable to making bad decisions or weak discernment or following the wrong thing. And everything has an energy attached to it. So, for example, you could go to a church on Sunday, and that church could have a negative energy attached to it. And many churches do, in spite of the fact that everything they say sounds loving. Or the same thing true with the channel. And when I say a negative energy, it means that a negative intent to hook you, to pull you in, to make you dependent, to hold your energy in check. That's how a soul gets trapped. But never, usually, do souls realize that's taking place. Although sometimes they'll do it for money, and how money is used as a way of hooking you. And so all of you, for all of you, it's very important to not believe me, but to sharpen your own discernment, because you need to be able to figure out your future, the things you can trust, the people you want to associate with, the groups you may want to attend, where you get support in this realm, because if things get really tough, support is going to be really important. And I can well guarantee you the negative will use your need for support to control you in one way, or to attempt to control you. So you need to be aware of how it's being played. And the only way is through discernment, through, and as I said, I'm going to share this whole thing that I came up with. I'm going to do a session on it with Terry, just to make sure I'm not making any mistakes, at least get a second opinion. Pretty sure it's the Ra group, pretty sure it's got a very similar frequency to the Ra group in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, although they don't talk it. They don't say it's the Ra. They don't identify themselves that way. But I'm going to do a whole Monday night on it tomorrow. And I don't know if I'm going to mail out the link. I may only say it on the call. And so tune in. Right now, we want to pull our energies together, move to that place where we are experiencing our group energy, the energy of our sources, and operating as a team. And we're going to take these energies and realize that they can follow our intention. So we take our group energy. And remember that this is a big group energy. It's not just the number of people listening to this call. We have our sources that are tracking this, that are adding their energy to this. And let's surround the earth with this energy. We can see it like a pink blanket of light. And we see this energy moving through all the cracks. Interestingly enough, oftentimes I say that it's like we're doing cosmic acupuncture. And that same idea came up in that channeling that I was mentioning, where they talked about doing cosmic acupuncture to the earth. Country of Korea. We send love light to that entire country. We surround all those decision makers in that country. We ask that a way come forth where they can save face back down from their threats for their highest good and for free will. Send the light to the city of Los Angeles. We've been asked to focus on LA, that LA is in somewhat of hang on there.
Then move your microphone a little bit away.
Can you hear me now, Hive?
Yes, but move your mic a little bit away from you.
Okay. Okay, I did. All right. L.A. is in somewhat of a precarious situation with potential for earthquakes, with threats of nuclear weapons. It's also the center of the media, and that the potential for positive media to come from Los Angeles is always a hopeful vision. So let's surround L.A. with this light. And all those creative people and all those decision makers, all those potentials that could wake up and turn Los Angeles into a Renaissance city of artistic expression. We ask for protection for Los Angeles from any negative, false flag, terrorist attacks on any level. And let us do our little earthquake focus. We have the Ring of Fire, which is all those land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean. And we start out on the tip of South America. And we see this light projected to that tip and through the earth and to the balancing of those tectonic plates that could be involved in creating earthquakes. But we're going to move from South America up the coast of South America, Chile, Argentina, up to Central America, up through Central America, to Baja, California, to Mexico, and then to Baja. We're going on the West Coast. We're projecting our energies through the ground, under the ground. And we go to California. San Diego. Once again, Los Angeles. If you're in the Los Angeles area, you're particularly chosen to hold the space of protection right now. You're not chosen unless you choose yourself, but you're important. Then we go up through Malibu, through Santa Barbara, through San Francisco. Through Sausalito, through Mill Valley, up through the coast of California, through Mendocino, through Oregon, through Washington State, through Vancouver, up the west coast of Canada, across to the south of Alaska, and the east coast of Russia, and down Russia through China, Indonesia, Japan, Philippines, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Singapore, North and South Korea, which is along that coast. Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii, and the islands in the Pacific. And we'll see a huge beam of light radiating from the center of the universe through all the levels, coming down on the Pacific Ocean and surrounding those land masses and bringing protection. And let's see that huge beam of light shining down on the entire country of the United States. And then in particular, on the New Madrid fault line in the middle of the country. Near St. Louis. And the Mid-Atlantic fault line off the eastern seaboard. We surround our entire planet with this pink cloud, and anywhere there is an earthquake, we ask for moderation and away from population centers. We send this energy down on the Middle East for peace. We send this energy down on Washington. For compassion. And to London. And to Canada. And we bring this energy back down to each of you, in your home, in your environment, that you each have the strength to hold it, to stay centered. To hold that radiant space. uplifts others. To attract those things to you that you need, that enhance your life, that helps those people. Around you. Stay uplifted. And I'm going to close today's session with that same instrumental piece that we did last week, which one of the members of our group, who's a studio musician in Hollywood, worked with all the famous people for years, plays trumpet on this, and it's quite inspiring. It's Gary Grant. So I'd like to thank you all for being here, for supporting this, and for holding the space for this transformation that is happening on our planet.